Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
How many know that it's just good to hear the word confirmed?
Amen.
Okay? You know, and thank God for Mary. I don't know if she's still here or not, but the scripture she read is some of the things I want to share. Just been praying about the service, you know, because I don't want to, you know, bring attention to myself, because how many know that it's not about me, it's about him, you know, and I just thank God that I get to be a part of what he's doing, you know, and there's no secret ingredients or anything that I have or anything, but God is so good to all of us to where he's given us all the same grace, the same faith, amen, if you're born again to the born again church, amen. We've all been given the same thing.
Yes.
But some of us don't want to take advantage of it. You know, we're not really enjoying the journey. You know, we're tolerating, we're irritated, and we're aggravated about things that I want to share with you this morning that the Holy Spirit has shed light on, that you and I have received an inheritance. And that inheritance is the kingdom of God. And in that kingdom, Paul said, it's not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And what I want to share with you this morning, I know there's a lot of things going on. And I shared last week about predestination, God foreknowing what was going to happen, you know. How many know God knows it all? Amen. From the beginning to the end, he already knows what's going to happen. But in our minds, we sometimes think, well, if God knows what's going to happen, why is he allowing things to happen the way they are in the earth? How many know there are some things that are being fulfilled, both positive and negative? Amen. And God has already said in his word, he told us, don't be misled by what's coming on the earth. And what we have to understand is that God says that to the church. He said, I am working all things together for the good of them that love God and the call according to his purpose. And his purpose is that we be conformed into the image of his son. And what God is doing, amen, what God is doing is that he has placed us in a corrupt world to use this world to cause us to be transformed. Now you say, how does that work? All the things, the pressures that we're feeling, you know, really is pushing us closer to God and causing us to cry out to God even more to be transformed in his likeness. See, we can't experience the presence of God if we don't understand what God is doing when we go through things. See, I can't help what I go through, but how many know that I can begin to allow God to take what I'm going through to shape me and to mold me into his likeness? See, but what I want to share with you this morning is there's about three things that specifically the Holy Spirit has spoken to my heart that I want to share with you. And we got to get to the place. Pastor Terry, he kind of nailed it. I think he got some insights on my notes, but that's okay. That's okay. Nah, he got the Spirit of God. God is just confirming some things. The scripture Mary read, what he shared about the emotions. See, how many know that we have joy? Okay? Now watch this. How many know we have peace? Okay, so when you have peace, what peace really means is this: undisturbed rest. Undisturbed rest, undisturbed peace. Remember when Jesus was on the boat and the waves and the wind began to burst? I mean, it just rocking the boat and everything was going contrary. And all of a sudden, where was Jesus at? Now, I mean, you know, Jesus was a man just like we are. Amen? But he was down there. How many know he know that boat? He know things was going on, but he was down there just sleeping away, resting. Why? because he had peace. And I'm going to tell you how he had peace. Because you can't give what you can't give away what you don't have, right? He got up and he said, "Peace, be still." See? And in that situation, I know we go through a lot. We've been through a lot. I mean, some things have happened in this particular church, amen, that leave us with questions and wondering. But how many know God has not taken away the peace that you and I are to partake of? See, it's in the Spirit of God. I mean, oh, Lord, it is a fruit of the Spirit, right?
Yes.
He said the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Now, I'm going to stop right there because that's enough right there, because that's what we need to be. That's what we need to be pulling on. Amen. Is the peace of God, that undisturbed rest, that untroubled mind where we can enjoy the peace of God. See, but what the enemy want to do, he want to paint the picture so big and so broad to where it distracts you from what's really on the inside of you, which is the peace. Just raise your hand and say, "I got peace." See, it don't mean that everything is okay. It don't mean that I have it all together. But inwardly, there is a knowing that I have undisturbed rest. I'm not coming unglued. Because I believe that the Word of God is true. And the Bible says that he has predestined us. In other words, he has placed us in a position, a honorable position. You know, he just didn't predestinate us, but he glorified us. Amen. God has already seen this. You say, well, if God sees all this, why are people not being saved? Why are people not being healed? Why are people not being delivered? That's a question you need to ask him. You know why? Because he has the answer. All I can say is what I believe. Amen? See, so getting back to this. See, when God created the creation, you know, and Miss Vicky, she shared a nice little exaltation with me this morning. She said, you know, this preacher told me one time, you know, that God created all this world with a conversation. I mean, you know, that's neat. Amen. That's just like my daddy. He created all this world with a conversation. Amen. And he did. He said, "Light be," and light was. He said, "Let us make man in our image." And how many know it happened? See, and he, when he created the man, he said, "Let him rule over the fish of the sea, the fowls of the air, and everything that creeps on the earth." God gave man rulership. And he told him, he said, "Protect the garden, guard it." But how many know that he didn't guard the garden? And God is telling you and I today to guard the garden. The soul, we got to guard it. We can't allow just things to be sown in us. We got to guard our peace. See, when Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my command." In other words, you will guard what I say. You will guard what I'm telling you. See, you will guard that peace. See, the devil can't take your peace because it's part of the spirit. But he can lie to you and tell you, you don't have no peace. I mean, you know, the world is searching for what? I just want some peace of mind. And you and I have the peace. Amen? He's given it to us. Now, getting back to Genesis, I'm gonna go with this, I'm gonna flow with this, because what God did, how many know that even though God created all things and he's all-knowing, now watch this, was Jesus slain 2,000 years ago? You get an A+, brother, okay, you get an A+, okay. Exactly. See, God knew, but he gave Adam a what? a will. And in that will, he could do what? Choose. Do you not know you and I have the same will, because what the emotions are made of, what the soul is made of, is mind, will, and emotions and desires. And when God created him, he breathed in him the breath of life, and he became a living being or a living soul. But he had a spirit, and then God took and breathed in him, and he became a living soul. And then God took some dust, some dirt, and then he formed what? The body. And now we are a triune being. We are spirit, soul, and body. And what we have to understand, the spirit has been regenerated by the Holy Spirit. That's why we're alive. Amen. What we were singing this morning, this is why we're alive, because God has did what? Blowed on the spirit, and it's alive again. Amen. See, it's the resurrection power on the inside of us. God has given us the ability. When he said in Timothy, he said, "For I have not given you the spirit of fear, but of love and power." And that word power means the ability or capability that where you can begin to do some things by the Spirit of God, because he said, "I have not given you the spirit of fear, but the spirit of love and power and a discipline." Amen. Say, he's given us a spirit to do what? That we can be disciplined people. And how many know, we shared this in Bible study a couple weeks ago. We need to be disciplined in the things of God. God is not trying to punish you. He's wanting to discipline you so that you can begin to carry out the purpose and will of God in this earth. Amen. Say, it blows people's mind when I tell them, God is not out to punish you. And he's not. Now, we go through some stuff hard because of our, what, choices. We go through some things because of our choices. But getting back to God, when he created Adam, now watch this. God knew why, because he was slain from the foundation of the world. Jesus was slain. Why? Because he knew Adam was going to do what? Mess up. But God said, I got a plan anyway. And that plan was to redeem you and I. That plan was to send his son to walk this earth, live victorious, kick the devil's butt on the earth. Amen. Walk this earth, healing the sick, raising the dead. Amen. Causing those things, amen, to come alive in front of people's eyes, open the blinded eyes. See, he came in and walked this earth, amen, as you and I, but really led by the Holy Spirit. The Bible said the Spirit led him into the wilderness. He didn't choose to. The Spirit led him into the wilderness to be what? To be tempted by the devil. And when we go through things, see, Jesus, I mean, he has this thing. God has it fixed for us, but we have to what? Choose. We got to choose. The power of choice. You have a free will. You're saying, well, why don't God just zap us all? Then we'll be like robots. God don't want a robot. He don't want a cookie cutter. We're all different, and he wants us to be different. Why? Because that's the thing of God, diversity. That's how awesome he is, amen? He gives some people engineer mind. He gives some people creative mind. He gives some media mind. He gives us all kind of gifts and all kind of talents to show himself off. Amen. This is how great he is. But what we got to understand is, it's in us. You got to live, you got to understand how to live from the inside out instead of outside in. Because on the outside is where the enemy has access. But on the inside, guess what? He can't do nothing to the Spirit of God, but he can do what? To our mind, our soul. He can begin to oppress and burden it down. But thank God that we can rise up above those emotions, amen, and we can experience the peace and the joy of God. Amen. We can experience it. What better way to experience it than this day that we're living in? I didn't go over to it. What greater time to experience the peace of God than a time that we're living in now? It blows the devil's mind when you at peace, when all this stuff is breaking loose. On every side, stuff is just popping off. But you know what? I've learned to rest, have peace, because it's in me. I've inherited. It's been given to me. It's been given to you and I to have that peace. And that's what God is doing now. The church, man, I'm not just talking about fathers, but the church, amen, the ecclesia, the called out ones. We're beginning to experience this dynamite power, amen. It's not just a kicking up the leg, but it's living victorious and being more conquered than the things that we are confronted with. I enjoy it when the times get hard now. That's okay. Because I'm graced. See, it's how your perception is. See, if you can see it and believe it, guess what? You can receive it. See, but we want to receive and then believe, but it don't work that way. Paul said, I believe and therefore have I spoken. See, I believe and I speak. See, Jesus said, speak to the mountain and the mountain will be moved. Amen. See, you got to speak to some things that's coming on us now. We got to speak what the word say about us. Why? Because the word won't return void. It will prosper where it's been sent and it will accomplish what God has said. Amen. But we as believers have to speak and line ourselves with the word of God. Why? Because the enemy is trying to get us to believe these lies that's coming on the earth this day and time to mislead us. The worst thing that you and I can do is accept the lie of, you know, everybody's their own law. The biggest lie I've ever heard in my day and time. But Jesus said it because of lawlessness, the love of many will wax cold. And you wonder why people are falling out of love with Jesus. It ain't because just things are not happening. The lawlessness that the enemy is trying to say, you know, there is no restraints. There is no law. People trying to say, well, you know, the law was done away with Jesus. How many know Jesus still has a law? And that law is just one commandment that he built everything else around was love one another. That's the commandment. And everything else is built around that. You think Jesus don't have law? Read the Beatitudes. Matthew 5, 6, and 7. It's Jesus talking about the characteristics of the kingdom. See, when Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, what he's saying is, seek the rule of God. Seek God's government. Let God govern you, not the things of this world, but let God govern you. Let the truth of God govern you to a place to where when things begin to happen, you are governed by what? The peace and the joy of the Lord. I'm governed by it. You say, well, what is the worst thing? Hey, amen. Some things that are happening, and I'm telling you that God has graced us for it. When we talked last Sunday about being predestination, being predestined, God foreknew. He foreknew this. Would this day would be here. But God had a plan all along for you and I to rise above it. And he gave us his son that we will know what's freely being given to us by him. See, it's not a work. We got to get out of the work mentality and get into the believing mentality. See, it's not about works, but how many know it's about believing? It's about believing in the finished work. It's about believing what Jesus accomplished. It's about believing what he's died for and he's resurrected, amen, to give us this power power to overcome whatever we face in this earth. That's why he was saying we are more than conquerors. If you'll back up and you'll see what God has accomplished in us and through us, we've been made more than conquerors. John picked it up and he said, whatsoever is born of God overcome this world. Amen. But he's talking to the born again church, not attendance. We appreciate attendance, but how many know the truth of the matter is we need to be born again? We must be born again. Why? Because Jesus said, you can't even see, you can't even perceive without being born again. What I'm doing, you won't be able to see it if you're not born again. Did I read a scripture? Ephesians, okay. Ephesians, and I'm telling you that getting back to the to predestination, he knows everything. He has chosen you. See, Jesus said, I have chosen you. You did not choose, I chose you. And I ordained you. I've set you in a place to be fruitful. I position you to be fruitful. And that fruit, we find it in Galatians, and that fruit is what? Love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, faith, patience. All kinds, that's just, you know, the fruits is there. Galatians, what, 6 and 22. You'll see it is there. And he has placed us to be fruitful. And the way we be fruitful, Jesus said, if you want to bear more fruit, abide in me. See, we I mean, you know, you don't pray and fruit just develop. You can't come in the prayer line and say, lay hands on me, Pastor, give me some fruit. Don't happen that way. Fruit has to be what? Developed. That's a fruit. Thank God for it. Amen. The characteristics of him is the fruit of the Spirit. See, and we've been given it, but we got what God is doing. He's developing when we go through. But see, when that person that you seem to be so unloving, and you say, but God, I just want you to help me to love people. And what God will do, he'll arrange a situation for you. He'll stir in the pot, and he'll put someone in your path. And you'll be saying, this God can't be the will of God for me. And all the time, God is saying, I want to perfect that love. I want to perfect that peace. See, it's there, but how many know that when God will begin to do arrange things, he won't bring it on us, but because we live in a corrupt world, how many know it's coming? You got to understand, it's going to happen whether you got God or not. He said, I reign on the just as the unjust. It's going to happen, but the thing about it, we have an advantage. And Jesus said, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I don't go away, the helper won't come. So you can say, hey, I got an advantage. I got an advantage, and that's called the Holy Spirit, the helper of God. And all we got to do is just rely on him, trust him, respond to what the word of God is saying. Why? Because he said, I will lead and guide you into some truth. Oh, okay, all truth. He's going to lead and guide us into all truth. See, and we have a... Now, let me say this, okay? There are times I have to talk to myself. I'm not crazy, okay? But there are times I have to remind myself. Sometimes my emotions get down. Like Pastor Terry was sharing this morning, sometimes emotionally we do get down. But do you not know the Spirit is interceding? He's interceding for you in your weaknesses. And that's why you can begin to be like David. So why are you cast down? Hope thou in God. See, David had to encourage himself in the things of God. Amen. Why? Because David was facing some things that was difficult. But David knew who his maker was. Amen. And David said, I will look unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help come from the Lord. Amen. But God has given you the helper on the inside of you. He's there, empowering us, giving us the ability to overcome this old carnality. And the more we begin to grow, the more you begin to see. It hurts sometimes. I mean, sometimes you just wringing your hands and crying and having a pity party and all kind of things, and the Holy Spirit would just whisper a word. He'll just begin to whisper and begin to cheer you on a little bit. He'll begin to encourage you a little bit. Have you ever experienced that? You ever experienced that? And you begin to say, you know, it's too good to be true. It's too good for me to be at. They're going to think I don't have no kind of compassion if I'm rejoicing because what just happened to me and I'm acting like that God is all this and that. They're going to think I'm crazy. Let them think. That you're crazy. You know why? Because what God is doing, it's not you, but it is that Spirit that's on interceding, and He's empowering you. He's causing you to, amen, to be built up on the inside, amen, to where you are bigger on the inside than you are on the outside. But what we have to understand, He's there, and He don't leave us in difficulty. When times get hard, He don't pack up and say, oh, I'm out of here. No, He don't do that. You know what He's doing? He's there trying to encourage me. But sometimes we are overwhelmed with our emotions, and we can't hear that still voice. It's almost like Elijah, I'm going to run in the cave because I'm the only one. And he began to talk to God, and God said, hold on now, fella. I think I got almost 7,000 that have not bowed their knee to Baal. Get yourself up and be another one of them out there that's on fire for God. Sometimes we want a pity party, but God is saying, look, I got all this body of Christ. Amen? And that's why we got to do what? Encourage each other. We got to have compassion towards one another. Why? Because you don't know when your turn is going to come to be hit with that hard trial, that hard difficulty, you know, and that's why we encourage each other. Amen? So we're in a time that we can experience the peace of God. See, and I know religion want to say this. Well, let's just suffer and when we get to heaven, it'll be okay. But I need a little heaven now. That's what I need. I need a little bit of heaven right here on earth. Amen? He didn't say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in heaven as it is in heaven. No, he said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? Guess what? Lord, have mercy, Jesus. Excuse me, but there ain't no sadness in heaven. Amen? I know we have sorrow here and there. I'm not trying to excuse it. I'm not trying to say it doesn't happen. But we got to remember there's a hope that's greater than us that's on the inside of us that will anchor us. Oh, Jesus. And you got to understand, He's there to help us. The helper is there to help us. You know why? Jesus knew. He said, in the world, you're going to have tribulation. But let's back up to that other verse. He said, my peace I give to you. Not as the world give it. See, let me tell you something about the world. You know how the world have peace? Oh, I thought I had some money in my hand. But anyway, when they got a roll of dough, you know, got some dough, you got some money, honey, they at peace. But you let them get broke, and they so depressed, they are depressed. But give them some money, and they just as happy. And don't give them some of these addictions that they fighting in their body. Don't give them, oh, they get sure enough happy. But do you know that's only temporarily? But what we got is eternal. Paul said, though these outward things, they perish, but what's inwardly is what? It's daily renewing, giving life, Zoe life. Amen? The life of God. Okay. Now I'm going to give him a scripture. Okay. Are you going to preach again? No. This is a closing here. I know them preachers say, uh-oh, that's one. This is a closing. In Ephesians chapter 1. And verse 11. Also, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will. See, he works all things after the counsel of his will. He works all things after the counsel, his advice. See, remember Timmy said the word of God is able to what? To give us instructions. It's able to do what? Teach us. Amen? You know, it's able to correct. When we get off track, we can go to the word of God and get back on track. Amen? So what is he saying here? He works all things after the counsel, the advice that God has given in his book. Now, say we're closing. Now, I want to give you an understanding of this word when he said that we have received an inheritance. Okay? All right? Did I read? Yeah, we have received an inheritance. What that word really means, that inheritance means to cast lots. Determined by lot. That inheritance, determined by lot, are to determine something or concerning someone. It means to whom the lot has fallen upon. So the lot, the inheritance, has fallen on us. It's falling on us. See, what the devil wanted to do, the lot to fall to him. But Jesus said, not so. Because I'm going to go and I'm going to be stretched wide. And I'm going to be nailed to a cross. So that when they cast lots, amen, it ain't just a garment that they're juggling for. But how many know it's the life giver? And the life giver has fallen. The lot has fallen to you and I. We have the inheritance. Chew on that a little bit. Because when you realize, remember last Sunday when the accuser come and he began to say, well, I know what you used to do. You can look at him and say, you know, that was a lot. They lotted for the life, but guess what? The lot fell toward me. And there's an inheritance in me. And now I have a lawyer, and his name is Jesus. And you need to go through him. You know why? Because he represents me. Oh, thank you, Jesus. He represents me now. And guess what? There ain't no sin on him no more. There ain't no guilt and shame on him no more. Why? Because the blood of Jesus have already cleansed this man. If only John will believe that and accept that. And guess what? I accept it and I believe it. Amen? So the lot has failed to us. We have an inheritance. And guess what? Yes, when we go through things, just look at it for what it is and say, God, give me wisdom. God, help me. Amen? Because the helper is on the inside of us. See, we win. I'm telling you, we might lose a battle here and there, but guess what? We're going to win. We're already winners. That's why Paul said, you know, what? Who is that trying to be against you? If God be for you, who can be against you? Paul said, in all these things, we're more than conquerors. And he rattled them off. You know, tribulations, all these things, distress, these narrow places we have to go through. Do you not know the narrow place is going to lead you to life? Jesus said, broad is the way that leads to what? Destruction. But narrow is the way that leads to life. And few there be that find it. But how many know a few in God's hand is more than a few in my mind? Amen? So don't sell yourself out. Amen? How many know God has a big body? And that body is entering that narrow place. Amen? Told you. That's it. Amen? Come on, give God some praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. God bless you.
So you're saying the dice is loaded.
The dice was loaded. It's loaded.
Roll it again. We're still a winner.
We're
still a winner.
You can keep rolling and keep rolling. That roll is already set. Amen. It's a fixed fight. Amen.
Amen. That is good, Pastor John.
Hallelujah. Thank you, sir.
You did a great job. Loaded, locked. Amen. I like that. I don't know how many of you were listening to this man, but I know he was speaking a lot of things about the Spirit of God. But there was a moment in his message that I'm going to rewind and I'm going to bring it to your attention. And he spoke about not just attending, but being born again. Yes. I want you to pause for a moment, and I want you to recall that moment. How did you feel? What was going on inside of your thinking? What was going on inside of your soul when he asked that question? Are you born again? Sometimes we hear those things, and at that moment, it registers. But as the message continues, we can sometimes battle against that. And the Lord has already spoken. I don't know what God told you. I don't know what the Spirit of the Lord spoke to you at that moment. But I want you to recall that moment. And I want you to honestly evaluate that moment about not being just an attender, but being born again. Without any doubts, without any wavering, without any uncertainty, but born again. And I want to say, if that happened to you, if that moment happened to you and you felt that nudge to do something about it, that means today's your day. That means your time is now. Because the Holy Spirit has spoken to you. And if that is you, if you still struggle, if you have doubts of your salvation, doubts of the day, doubts of whatever it is that you doubt, and you're not certain that this is your time. This is your day. This is your moment. This is your time to fix it. Not fixing, but be fixed in it, to be settled. So I want you to, I don't normally ask people to bow heads or anything like that, but I want you to just bow your heads just for a moment. Pastor Charlie, if you'll just come up. Just bow your head for a moment. Recall that moment and be honest with yourself. What was the Lord telling me at that moment? Is this my day to settle it for sure? Is this my moment to nail it down? So be honest with yourself and be obedient to the Spirit. And if that's you, if you know you're not born again, maybe you've been doing some church things, but you're not born again. Or if you have struggled with doubt and uncertainty, and you want to drive the stake into the ground today and say, I'm gonna settle this thing once and for all. I'm gonna receive. I'm gonna say yes to what the Holy Spirit's been speaking to me, and I want to come today because I hear Him choosing me. So if that's you, I want you to just stand up. I want you to come down here. Brother Doug is here. Don't hesitate. God bless you. Brenda, if you'll come up. God bless you. Anymore? Your time, your moment, your personal dealing with the Holy Spirit of what He's saying. Anchor it today. He used that word in the message. He anchored. He is the anchor. Hope is the anchor. So you want to be anchored in this thing of salvation, in this thing of knowing that you know that you know that you know that you know that you know. You belong to Him and He belongs to you. Anybody else? Today that are still seated, how many of you today would be willing to say, you know, Pastor, I want to walk a little tighter in that narrow way. I want to, if it gets tight, let it get tight. But I want to continue to walk. I want to continue my journey with Him. And if that's you, just stand up today and say, Lord, I know it's going to be narrow. I know it already is, and it may become a little bit more narrow than what I already know. But I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to veer off. I'm not going to turn around, and I'm not going to leave. Because I know that You, Lord, will never leave me. See, with Your standing today, there's a moment of leaving where you are in the presence of the people, in the presence of God. And you have to leave that spot from 724 Oakland Road. You have to leave that spot. And it's not a departure. It's a re-entry. The eye of the needle, it gets a little tight and things have to fall off in order to be able to continue the journey. And that's what we're about. That's what he's about. That's what he wants us to do. With no distractions, nothing hindering us. Doing his will. Like the passage he read on the screen was the counsel of his will. Let his will counsel you and I. Every moment, every decision, every thought. Let his will counsel. Give us the direction for our next step. And I promise you, he'll be pleased. He's already pleased with who you are. But you'll please him with your behavior. You'll bring pleasure to with your walk. When he see, those of you that have children know exactly what I'm saying. They'll always be your child. But when you begin to see them begin to turn and walk in the ways of God, it brings you pleasure in their behavior. And that's what it does for him. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for these that have come, and we ask you, God, that it would be anchored inside their soul today, that they would be secure in their life with you. No matter what comes at them, remind them of this day that they nailed it down. They surrendered. We thank you. We love you, Lord. We worship you. We're about to enter another Thanksgiving season, so why don't you just go ahead and start this today by saying, thank you, God. Just thank him. Lord, we love you. We worship you. You are everything to us. And we give our all to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.